You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jay Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show today. Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Joining us after the 9:30 news, we have a number of things to talk about with Mr. Santel, including this case against Jim Comey, including the deployment of troops onto American streets. And we're also going to learn the definition of a word.
Okay.
Plenary.
It's going to be interesting.
It should be interesting.
The accompanying audio is
something. It will leave you
speechless.
Plenary authority. What is plenary authority? We're going to learn about that with Jim Santel coming up after the 9:30 news next hour, right after the top of the hour news. Retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be joining us. He has been on the show many times before, more than 30 years in the U.S. military. He has some thoughts about the recent speech that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump made in front of our generals. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And yes, we have a clip. We have a compilation clip of some of the president's comments to our nation's generals. That will be in hour number two. Then for the last half an hour, we will lighten it up as we always do. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director.
Yeah, there it is.
Is going to be joining us after 10:30 to talk all things sports. We won't talk a lot about yesterday's game.
It's fine. It happened.
You okay?
Yeah, because I've decided to accept reality more with a better and firmer and more adult hand than sports writers in Chicago.
Yeah, we'll have some thoughts for
good
you.
Good Lord, they're unhinged.
They're very sensitive. They're very sensitive.
I call them babies.
That's all coming up around 10:35. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Museum of What edition. So I would encourage you to stick around for that. Did want to start off with this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is from WISN. Microsoft drops Caledonia data center after community pushback. We're hearing more and more about these data centers.
Mm-hmm.
AI, artificial intelligence,
yep,
requires a lot of power.
Yes, they do.
And a lot of water.
And we have access to both of those. We also have a lot of farmland that's no longer being used. If you drive up and down, I mean, I drive up and down Kenosha to Racine to Milwaukee all the time, and there are acres upon acres of land that aren't being used, that are for sale, if they're not building data centers there, they're building gigantic warehouses there.
Storage units and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But yes, the tech giant Microsoft pulling out now from a 244-acre development near Douglas Avenue because of this pushback from the community about building a data center in Caledonia. At least some of the folks who commented in this article who live near the site, Prescott Balch says he's ecstatic. We think it's the right decision. We're not gloating because we won. We think we've come to the right conclusion for the village. This gentleman and other fellow people who live in Caledonia have spent the last 2 months forming this coalition to fight against this data center. They're worried about long-term environmental concerns.
They require a large amount of water being used every single day, taking water from Lake Michigan.
Millions of gallons. A medium-sized data center, from what I could find this morning, consumes about 110 million gallons of water per year for cooling purposes, mm-hmm. because they have to cool all these things.
Yeah.
Larger data centers can drink up to 5 million gallons a day or almost 2 billion dollars or 2 billion gallons a year, equivalent to a town of 10 to 50,000 people.
Yeah.
And the other thing too with these data centers is the amount of electricity that they consume. And this is a concern to folks because our grid, our power grid, was not designed for this.
Yeah.
And so if you get a lot of these data centers in one area, I've read that Virginia in particular right now is kind of leading the way. Their homeowners' electricity rates are going up.
Yeah. I mean, then, and the other thing too, I'm looking this right up. I'm looking this up right now. Is the average amount of jobs too, because data centers, as far as I know, it's not like, you know, like if a factory comes to town, they're going to employ a lot of people. It's going to be good, solid jobs
for a long time.
For a long time. I'm looking at the average data center employs dozens to a few hundred permanent staff. It's nothing to shake a stick at. That's still jobs. But it's not like they're going to be bringing in 10,000 jobs. They're not going to be bringing in a lot of contribution to the community.
Right.
They're here to take.
They're here to take our water and electricity.
And they're going to think that slapping their name on a community event, a parade, or a park, that will be like, oh, we want to give back. No, they're going to take our water. They're going to take our land. They're going to your power bills are going to go up.
Well, they're going to have to make improvements to the power grid.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need more infrastructure going into the power grid.
Yeah.
And this subsequently, as we've all seen, power companies don't tend to just suck that up themselves or cut back on executive bonuses. No, they pass that on to the consumers.
Yeah. And we also live in a state where Madison isn't big on helping to pay for things. So what portion is the community going to pay for? What portion does the state pay for? Are they going to go for federal dollars? Are there federal dollars available? I mean, these are a lot of great questions that need to be asked, because really, since the announcement of Microsoft taking over the Foxconn land or leasing it out to do their data centers, this has become a huge thing. This has become I hear lobbying firm commercials for data centers on the radio now. They want to make Wisconsin probably a Midwestern hub for data centers because the lake access. Now, actually, I didn't even say Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin or the eastern corridor of Wisconsin, that area, because there's so much lake access. I'm not against this completely. What I'm against is that they should just be able to walk in and do it. And that's why I say kudos to the people of Caledonia.
Well, and it seems that the folks in Port Washington got onto this a little bit late. Mm. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Port Washington's $8 billion AI data center now sees swell of pushback, but this is coming too late.
Yeah.
Port Washington Common Council Chamber filled up past maximum capacity at a meeting on October 7th. A lot of folks talked about they were concerned about the enormous energy pull, how much it's going to be built, about the transmission lines, about water, all of those things. But they're kind of, the project's already underway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where you're going to put an $8 billion data center
in Port Washington.
That's all.
The mayor, Ted Nitzke, said the company is set to break ground in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, I'm going to take this moment to focus on a point that we've made over and over and over on this show, and other people have made too. Raise your voice. Let your leaders know what you are thinking. If you live in an area that is even remotely close to the lake, you know, even I would say people in Waukesha, you're 30 minutes from the lake, but you're 30, 40 minutes from the lake, but this still affects you. And my point being is that you go to myvote.wi.gov, find out who your local leaders are. You know, we talk all the time when we're talking Congress and the senators and the president, but find out who your common council members are.
Absolutely.
Find out who your county supervisors are. If you see something like this coming on up, you call them and tell them, and you show up. You voice your opinion. We still live in a country where our voices can be heard. And these are the moments. Kudos again to Caledonia for standing up. Because you think about it, I mean, nowadays everything feels like David and Goliath.
Absolutely.
Big company comes through, $1 billion company comes through. You're like, what voice do I have? Well, here's a perfect piece of proof showing that when the people of Caledonia had a problem, they raised their voice and something was done. Is it over? I don't know. But this is proof that the people's voice can be heard.
A 5-2 vote earlier had advanced rezoning plans for the site, with the matter set to go before the village board. But after their decision by Microsoft not to pursue this, it's unknown how this will go on the pending rezoning. But the other thing I've seen in regard to the data centers and all of that stuff, one of the ways that just regular homeowners can combat this and the rising energy prices is by solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, the Trump administration has cut all the help for people who want to install solar panels. I believe that expires next year.
And if you are interested in knowing more about that before government tax credits may be going away, there are programs out there. You can find out more. You can go to rewiringamerica.org. You put in your information, like where you live, and it'll give you all of the opportunities to get yourself solar or wind or whatever, and it has rebate offer. It has information for rebate offers. It won't offer you anything directly, but this is like one hub where you can find all the ways of getting yourself maybe a little less on the grid, as far as, you know, it rhymes with Wisconsin Penergy. But yeah, rewiringamerica.org. I'll put it in the notes, but that's a great resource.
And if you don't know where to find the show notes, it's super easy to do. You go to our website, go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, you click on shows. That will take you to all of the shows across the network. Scroll on down to Matt and Air on Air, and there will be about 2 months worth of archived shows. You look for the date, and then Greg includes links to all the articles that we talk about if you would like to research further, and we will include that in there too, that rewire. Kurt from Eau Claire, by the way, texting in, listening on WCFW, says a data center was stopped by citizens in Menominee, Wisconsin.
Great.
In Dunn County. Yep. So, again, you can make a difference. We are not completely without options.
And at the local level is where it affects you the most.
That's
and
where things happen the most.
Yeah,
it is. Like you said, your common councils and your village boards and all that stuff.
These are people you can call at home and they'll answer. If they're worth their salt as far as being a public servant, they're going to answer those calls or call you back or email you back. But yeah, contact them. Get in touch with them. Let your voice be heard. That is our power.
Myvote.wi.gov. All right. When we return, reckless driving continues to be a nightmare in the city of Milwaukee. So what is the answer? There's a new suggestion out. We'd love to know what you think about red light cameras. That's coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Fantastic show. You should definitely listen if you're busy on Saturday mornings, and I know a lot of folks are, and you're running the kids around and doing errands and things. You can listen to all of our shows as a podcast.
Absolutely. You can do it in two ways. You can go to civicmedia.us/shows, find the show you're looking for, like Matt and Air on Air.
There you go.
And you can find a backlog of about 2 months of our shows, and you can download those directly to your device, listening to them whenever you would like. Or you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice and find us there and subscribe to the show as a podcast and enable that download when new episodes become available feature, because then every time a new episode becomes available, which actually is twice a day, three times if you subscribe to also This Shouldn't Be a Thing's mini podcast episodes. And that way you can listen to us every day, listen to all the hours and catch yourself up.
When it's convenient for you.
Exactly. It's a great way for you to take us with you. That's going civicmedia.us/shows or going to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And I will make this request. If you feel like we deserve it, give us a 5-star review, because what that does is it will help us with ratings and visibility. If more people know about us, more people give us 5-star reviews, it pushes us up in the favorabilities and maybe even into the top something or other. I don't know. But yeah. Only if we deserve 5 stars. If it's anything less than 5-star review, you take those thoughts, put it into an email, and I'm going to give you an email address. Okay, so it's calvinb.boardlord@angelfire.us/gov/definitely-not-a-scam-email.net-biz.
Okay. And super easy to give us. Yeah, just send. That's where you send your complaints. It's really, really easy.
Yeah.
We love them. Okay, this is not a laughing matter. What's been going on in Milwaukee, and it's happening for a decade, if not longer. Mm-hmm. Because when I worked on Capitol Drive, I saw it every day. The reckless driving, and the number now of fatalities we have because of reckless drivers, just keeps growing, and so. They've tried bump outs. They've tried traffic calming measures.
Traffic calming.
Now the city of Milwaukee is considering red light cameras.
Yeah.
If this is a bipartisan bill, if it would pass, drivers who run red lights or speed more than 15 miles an hour over the limit could get tickets by mail.
I got one of those once.
You got a ticket by mail? Did you ignore it?
In Chicago.
Oh,
because of a red light camera.
Yeah, my husband used to work in Chicago, and he had the same thing. They can be very twitchy, because Paul used to complain about if you went slightly over the line at an intersection, it will nail you for that.
I am of two minds on this one, and actually, just so everyone knows, we have Dan Schaefer on the show every Friday in the second hour. And this is something he said he wanted to talk about as well. So we'll expand upon this topic with him tomorrow. I'm of two minds with this. I personally feel like this is going to ding a lot of people who make simple mistakes. And like you said, if you go up to the line and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. And it's just another annoyance in someone's life to either have to go to court or just
to fight it,
pay for it. And it's on your record and it dings your insurance. I think the people that they want to target, and by the way, I would love to see Kenosha and Racine maybe adopt something similar, because while I won't disagree, Milwaukee has a reckless driving problem. Kenosha and Racine are developing their own.
They're runners up.
They're speeders up is what they are, because it's, you know, I haven't seen accidents, but that doesn't mean you don't do anything.
Right.
The people they want to target, I don't think we'll care that they get a ticket. If you are running red lights and you are speeding at such a, I mean, yes, some people might be like, oh, geez, oh, darn it. But I think that when we talk about reckless driving, there's like 2-3 places everyone talks about. And I feel like a lot of the individuals who drive at that speed and that level of recklessness, they're not going to care about tickets. They're not going to care about repercussions. They're just going to do their thing. So I don't know what the true fix is here.
Well, yes, and I don't either. And there's two mindsets, too, about police chases.
Mm-hmm.
And some have called now for police chases to stop because reckless drivers don't care who they kill when mm-hmm. they're running from the police. But at the same time, there are those who say because at one point Milwaukee did stop police chases,
yeah.
that emboldened bad guys to take off
yeah.
because they knew they weren't going to get chased.
Yeah, it's really, I'm all for the discussion. I'm all for the bump outs, traffic calming. I honestly try everything if you can, but we also have to realize at some point there's just some people in this world who don't care. And that's a different discussion. Let's make it safe. Absolutely. As I get older, Jane, you know me. I only drive, like, I think I do no more than 10 on the freeway over. Even I don't even like doing that. And I rarely do 5 over on regular streets because I would rather be safe and get to where I need to go. And if you're annoyed by that, that's your problem. But yeah, it's a big conversation that affects more than just the big cities too.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, as I've often tell my husband, if everyone just drove like me, there would be no problem. just all drive like me.
If you ever see Jane, ask her about her highway anxiety driving.
But you know I'm not speeding. You know I'm not going 90.
Is she okay? She's going 7.
When we return from the news, Jim Santel will be here from Amicus, a law review. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Every time you say hello to the live stream, I think of Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride. Hello, lady. So every time you say, I'm like, hello, live stream.
Hello, live stream. He joins us every Thursday at this time. He's the host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. It is a great, great show. I highly mm-hmm. encourage you to listen.
Yes.
Download it as a podcast if you can't listen on Saturday mornings. Jim Santel is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Jane, Greg, always a delight to be with you, and any segment that begins with a reference to The Princess Bride is one that I want in on, just to let you know that.
So absolutely.
All your rule of law, all your justice-related issues, they all derive from the script for The Princess Bride. I think we all agree on that.
Inconceivable!
There you go. Right? Boy, and is that an applicable word these days. But let's start, Jim, with talking about the federal judge in Chicago today, who is yes. having a hearing on the president's use of sending in the military to what right now are predominantly democratically run cities.
Right,
so
exactly.
So where are we with this?
Where are we? You know, this is an important day in the rule of law because, by my count, somewhere in about the next 90 minutes, there are going to be 2 hearings in America. They're very important on this issue, both of them 11 a.m. our time. 2,000 miles apart. One of them, Jane, is what you just mentioned. That is a hearing in front of Judge April Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. She is a federal district court judge. She is in the Northern District of Illinois. She's in the Dirksen Building. She's appointed by the president, lifetime tenure. And earlier this week, she was assigned to this case involving the challenge to everything that's going on in Chicago. This notion of bringing in, again, the National Guard from places local and not so local. And she said, you know, I want some briefing on this. I want the lawyers to tell me what's going on here. So she established a briefing schedule. They're supposed to submit all their papers by last night. And yes, indeed, in about less than 90 minutes, she's going to be opening a hearing in Chicago on all of these issues. Interestingly, while she said, you know, I'm not going to preclude the president from going ahead right now, I would recommend that you wait until after the hearing before you do anything, which is kind of a not all that strong order from a judge, but plainly sending some signals, even as we know, even as of this morning, reporting, obviously, that literally hundreds of National Guard troops perched, ready to move into Chicago, awaiting that result. Again, 2,000 miles to the west, you have in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This comes up from a judge, another federal district court judge. Her name is Karen Immergut, I-M-M-E-R-G-U-T. She is the one who was very busy last weekend when she was presented with a like lawsuit there in Oregon, in Portland. And she determined that you can't, this is an overreach by the president. You can't do this, Mr. President. Nothing gives you authority, constitutional, statutory. Knock it off. Do not bring in National Guard soldiers, Oregon National Guard. And this strikes me, what happens next strikes me, Jane, is one of those things that you and, of course, Greg and all your listeners will be outraged by. My guess is Stephen Miller back in the White House looks at this and he says something like, she told us we couldn't bring in Oregon National Guard.
Right.
What about from some other states, right?
Let's bring in Texas.
Exactly. Bring in Texas. Let's do it. Try to do an end around this judge, which I can tell you, federal judges just love that when you try to twist their words. I like to say I never did that, never even thought about doing that. And so sure enough, she gets on the phone on Sunday night. Sunday night, she says, everybody back in. Let me be very clear about this. Not only is the Oregon National Guard not coming into Portland, but if there's a National Guard from any state in the Union, any place in the galaxy that may have a National Guard, they are not to come in to our city. Knock it off. Stay away. And that is the order, of course, that Stephen Miller and folks at the White House have now appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they're having an emergency hearing on it almost at exactly the same time, within the next hour and 15 minutes or so, as the judge in the district court in April Perry, district court in Northern Illinois, is having. So we're having these two very similar, if not exactly the same issues, different jurisdictions, testing the president's capacity to do this. And I know what all your listeners and you will ask next, which is, okay, federal judges say, can't do this, you've got no power. We now ask this question, America, of the constitutional crisis, and you shrug your shoulders just so appropriately, Jane, because the question is, does the president care? Does the attorney general care? And if a federal judge says don't do something, are we going to follow it? That's authoritarianism. That's a constitutional crisis of the highest order, and we'll see what happens, again, if this White House decides to take on one or two federal judges over this issue.
Well, and again, who's going to stop him? If, right, you know, the court says you cannot do this and Trump says, I don't care. And he just goes and does it anyway.
And I just want to point out to the many, many examples going back quite a few years now of their shirking the court's subpoenas, testimony, things of that nature. Right. I mean, straight out lying under oath, if you ask me, because like they're just lying all the time. So. For them to disregard the courts now is nothing new. It's completely on brand. And I think it's interesting that she had to call them back in to tell them, look, I have to clarify because that's what they also do. If you say one thing, they say, well, you didn't say this.
Exactly.
That is the logic of a 9-year-old child.
Yes.
And if you say, and what's funny, James, Jim, and I don't mean to make it a joke, really. It's the fact that you say, not another National Guard in the galaxy. They'll be like, well, what about in the universe? We'll find, you know, that's how far they take it. Exactly. And they don't care. Right. They're going to do whatever they want. And I just, from a legal standpoint, Jim, I ask you this, who has the power then to say no? Is it the governor? Is it honestly maybe a general who says, I will not do this? Right. I mean, they will be punished for that, of course. But at this point, it feels like if we can't have the courts take care of this, or if they're not going to listen to it, who is the next level of dissenters who can actually have a little bit of power against what is growing to be an authoritarian rule?
Right. Invoking a former president, much admired by our current president, Andrew Jackson, saying, with respect to the Trail of Tears, you and whose army, Supreme Court, right? And so is it going to get to that? And yes, I think both of those, we know that Pritzker, we know that Gavin Newsom out in California, they are hot about this issue. That's a very superficial way of describing it, but they're angry. And again, to the extent that this White House doesn't, if they don't follow these orders, they will issue their own orders. And yes, governors do have authority to do this. And yes, indeed, all those folks who were gathered at Quantico a week or so ago, who stood there stone-faced, we know what they're all thinking. Yes, they cannot say something out loud, but they're also required, they took an oath of office, Greg, to the to the Constitution. And when a federal court tells the military, as they sometimes do, do this, do not do this, they're also obliged to follow that. And balancing what they know is an unconstitutional directive from a president who is exercising powers he does not have against judges who are having reasonable hearings, making these determinations, invoking the rule of law. I think it may come to that finally, where you've got generals saying, in pursuit of my oath of office, I am going to choose the rule of law. And we hope it doesn't. I mean, here's the other specter. We've got these hundreds of National Guard right now perched outside of Chicago waiting for this hearing this afternoon. Please tell me we're not going to have armed conflict on the street between what? National Guard members and domestic police? I don't even want to raise the specter of that. That can't be in America, can it? And yet it's being set up, even the fact that I say that, hopefully just rhetorically, without any reality here, but it underscores the fact that as we think about what are the remedies out here, what could happen next if this goes so badly, it's all put in motion by a president who has no respect and no understanding fundamentally of how this works. He doesn't know about government. He's never read the Constitution. He doesn't know anything about his powers and the things that are being discussed before the Supreme Court. He put little bits and pieces. I know, Jane, you talk about, you know, the references to, you know, getting rid of the First Amendment and free speech, that kind of thing, which we should chat about as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what that means. He doesn't know, but somebody told him that, and so he throws that out. The recklessness, and also say one more thing, and then I will be quiet, and that is just this, the cynicism. We've talked about this before, because what fundamentally he's relying upon is the notion that Americans, in his mind, are stupid, and they do not know how things work, and they do not know what the institutions require, and in fact, Americans do. I'm not saying they were able to teach civics courses at the college level tomorrow, but Americans do. The cynicism from this president believing that people will believe whatever he says as gospel truth, it is simply not the case. But he relies upon it, and we will see. It's going to be tested maybe as soon as this afternoon, tomorrow, over the weekend. We are at a critical juncture right now in America, as we have been. Frankly, since certainly March 15th, but January 20th of this year.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. I highly encourage you to check it out. We are talking about two cases that are being heard in court this morning, different parts of the country, about whether or not Donald Trump has the authority to send in National Guard troops into states which are not requesting them. And I guess one of the big areas of frustration, Jim, is, and I've seen reporters on the ground in Portland, there is a one block area where this ICE facility is located, where actually I've seen videos of people dressed up like dinosaurs dancing. So when I see the president said yesterday, all the burned out cities and all the burned out stores and everyone has to put cardboard, you know, wood up over their windows to prevent them from getting smashed. That is not what is happening on the ground in Portland.
And the governor told him as such that this is not happening, where he responded, that's not what my people are telling me. So I want to connect that to your point, Jim, of he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says the last thing someone says to him, and he is told by the highest official in the state, no, these aren't a problem. He says, well, that's not what I've been told. Are you telling me that I'm being told other things?
Yes. They are feeding you things things, Mr. President, to keep you happy that will support your own narrative. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. He's like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
We have to give him something, give him another cookie so he doesn't have another tantrum.
Right.
Yes. Or he's going to embarrass us in the store. That's where we are.
Right.
The many other things he does not know, apparently, this is kind of a problem among some of his cabinet members, and including Stephen Miller, who does not know or does know what the word plenary authority means. This came up, and this is kind of an important thing. We are going to talk about that with Jim Santel.
And we have an audio clip. It's amazing.
We do have an audio clip. You may want to look it up while we go to break. Plenary authority.
Yeah.
And just see if you can find a definition for that. And then we're going to talk about Pam Bondi's appearance. Mm. before the House committee, she had all her insult lines written down. Like a bad comic.
Hack!
Jim Santel is here. We're going to continue with him. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Museum of What edition. You want to stick around for that. That is coming up around 10:53. Right now, we're joined by Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. We wanted to talk about words, Jim, and what words mean. We have a clip from Stephen Miller's right-hand guys, from President Trump's right-hand guy, Stephen Miller, appearing yesterday on the network. It was on CNN.
It was on CNN, yes.
Let's play this clip for Mr. Santel, please.
You've called the district judge's ruling blocking the deployment of National Guard in Oregon legal insurrection. Does the administration still plan to abide by that ruling?
Well, the administration filed an appeal this morning with the Ninth Circuit. I would note the administration won an identical case in the Ninth Circuit just a few months ago with respect to the federalizing of the California National Guard. Under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has plenary authority.
What?
Stephen?
What happened?
Hello?
Stephen?
Hello? Stephen Miller. Oh, nice.
Stephen Miller went into buffering mode.
Stephen Miller was buffering there after those words came out of his mouth. It was almost like he realized, I shouldn't have said that out loud. What does that mean, Jim Santel?
Yeah, somebody probably in the West Wing there was bandying that about, as I'm sure they do. It is comes from Latin. It's one of those things that lawyers like to bandy about when they talk about the full, complete, unfettered authority of a government entity. And so what he basically said is we have a king. We have an unbridled executive who can do whatever he wants.
Anything.
I'll give you some examples, but there are a couple of them in the Constitution. Maybe it's the only one. President has plenary authority to issue pardons. We know that. Unfettered. He can do whatever he wants. It may well be that Ghislaine Maxwell will sometime soon be the recipient of one of those. Now the Supreme Court has denied her appeal. But you know what else is a plenary authority, Stephen? Is the Commerce Clause also establishes the right of the Congress, not the president, to establish things related to trade. There's another word for you, Stephen. And that includes a thing called tariffs. That's also a plenary authority.
What?
Right? Full complete. Right? You know, so lots of education going on here. It is, Jane, Greg, listeners of yours, it's a part of this same mantra that goes back to this thing we talked about. I know it sounds very wonky. The unitary executive theory comes out of Project 2025. Mm-hmm. It's this notion that the president has powers well beyond what the Constitution says. Yes, with respect to other agencies that are not governed by the executive branch, can do whatever he wants. But basically, it is an unfettered executive. And you know where else it comes from? You know where else the word plenary comes from? It comes from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who you may recall, we talked about this a lot, July 1 of last year, not this past summer, issues that order in Trump versus United States. Yes, giving him immunities from criminal prosecution, but also saying we got to have a president who is powerful and muscular. Yep. And be able to respond quickly and can't be annoyed and diverted by things like, criminal prosecutions and that law stuff that you people talk about.
That doesn't allow him to pump his plumpy muscles over America.
There you go. Right, right.
And that was the point I was going to make is that the Supreme Court has given him the right. The fact that Stephen Miller tripped up or anything, it's like, just admit it, dude. That's what you want.
Right. Right, exactly. And again, he recognized plainly what he is saying, which is he's declaring what I think many of us believe, that we're in an authoritarian system right now, constitutional crisis in the rearview mirror, but probably not authorized to go on CNN and say that out loud, because we're still engaging this facade that we will follow what district court judges and appeals court judges are doing, when in fact everybody has said, we don't care so much. Emile Beauvais, one of our favorites right now in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, told so those folks inside the Department of Justice, judge tells you what to do. I won't use the word on this fine radio program, but he basically said, blank you. That's what you tell federal judges. That's the tone of this administration. That's what Stephen Miller was really talking about yesterday.
Yeah, it's Donald Trump's world, and we just get to live in it. Because they're his agencies. They're not the United States agencies anymore. They're his agencies, and they do what he wants.
Yeah, there's a wonderful breakdown of the
unitary executive theory. Right, I'm ashamed to say that that comes off my tongue now. It shouldn't. Right, it should be obscure, and nobody should know about it. Right?
There's a great breakdown on Last Week Tonight when they talk about Bill Barr, because he was a big pusher of this back in the day too. This is not a new thing, by the way. I think he's seeing it happen in front of him, and he's like, "This is not what I even wanted. This version, at least."
Bill Barr,
because he wanted to be the guy behind the guy, and he's not anymore. But it's a great breakdown, the history and what it all entails, and it really describes what's happening now. So,
right, be careful what you maybe wish for, what you plan for, because sometimes you can't control what happens, and that's what we're in right now.
We're not going to have time, Jim, to play the entire clip of Adam Schiff mentioning all of the things that Pam Bondi refused to answer when she appeared before a House committee. It was unbelievable. Have you ever seen any attorney behave like that in front of a House committee?
Never. I'm going to say it's unprecedented, not only not to respond. You can say things like, you know what, I can't talk about that. Can we talk about that in camera? That's sensitive, that sort of thing. But to refuse to answer any questions and then go on the attack and say, well, you know, you've got that bad thing in your history. This was a political event. Horrified that an attorney general, unlike any other attorney general in history, would behave that way. She did it just yesterday.
She essentially did an hour of, that's what you said, but what am I? It was unbelievable.
Yep.
Jim Santel hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. He joins us every Thursday. Thank you so much, Jim. We will see you next week. We got news coming up next. And then when we return, retired Major General Randy Manner is joining us. Going to be a great conversation. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.